if you ever take the train to or within the area covering Bristol, Bath, South Gloucestershire and North Somerset, then you might soon notice a difference. That's because the West of England Combined Authority, WECA, is one of the mayoral authorities set to receive a share of £15 billion of government funding to improve public transport today. More rural communities, including the Somerset Council area, are not included. The news also comes on the day that the rail regulator has said companies must stop taking disproportionate action against passengers who make minor and often genuine mistakes in buying tickets. Let's speak to Bruce Williamson, who is from the group Rail Future, which represents rail users. Morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Let's start, if we may, with this funding announcement. Do we know how long it's going to take before we will be able to see a difference in terms of this injection of cash?
Ooh, I certainly wouldn't like to say. I mean, 800 million, it sounds like a lot of money, but sadly, it doesn't go very far. Rail investment or transport investment generally is very, very expensive. And as you rightly say, it's WECA who sort of gets to allocate the money. So we're definitely going to see improvements in the north of Somerset, and probably nothing for the middle and the south, I'm afraid.
And that is, one of those things that perhaps we've come to accept now. But it does seem a little bit unfair that other Somerset passengers are being left behind.
Well, indeed, they pay their taxes as well. I mean, in an ideal world, you would spend the money fairly across the country. And there are, many investments that are needed in Somerset. You've got a single track railway to Waterloo, which isn't very great. There's a case for reopening Wellington and Langport. It'd be great to have the main line electrified. I think that's a long way in the future. Somerset really hasn't done well for rail investment over the last few years.
I mean, there has been talk, like you say, about reopening old stations. Where are we up to with that? Is it just an ongoing discussion?
In the north, of course, Portishead is on the brink of completion. Rail reopenings, it's a painfully slow process, and it needs grassroots support. It needs the support of local politicians. So I think, that those who want to campaign for reopenings in their part of the world have got to have an awful lot of patience. But, it does eventually pay off. And I think, we have to, not just campaigners like me, but, the public in general, we have to continue to put pressure on politicians to say, look, we want and we deserve better rail transport in our area.
What would you say, based on the interactions that your group has with rail users, what are the big gripes? What are the main things that people get cheesed off about?
I think the sheer cost of rail travel, the ticket prices are outrageous, outrageously expensive in themselves. And then this spring, we had to suffer the indignity of yet another inflation-busting rail fare increase, whilst the government continues to sweeten the deal for motorists by freezing fuel duty. So what that does, of course, is it drives people onto our polluted and congested roads and makes rail less attractive, which is exactly the opposite of what they should be doing. Other gripes, of course, include overcrowding and unreliability and so on. But, there's almost limitless gripes that people have. But I personally certainly would put fares at the top of the list.
There has been a situation with our buses recently where there's been a fixed bus ticket price. So it went from £2 to £3 quite recently. We spoke to one of the team from one of our bus services here in Somerset recently, who said that because of that, it has seen an increase in people using the services that perhaps previously they wouldn't have. Do you think something like that with the trains could be a helpful thing, or is that just too, cost ineffective to be able to do something like that?
Well, no, undoubtedly, it's a sort of variation of build it and they will come, make it attractive and they will use it. There was something happened in Germany recently where they introduced a really cheap ticket that would allow travel all over Germany. And of course, it was a huge runaway success. If you reduce the price of rail travel, the number of people using the trains would undoubtedly increase and we'd have less congestion on our roads.
What do you see the future of the rail network looking like? Obviously, you know, there's talk about nationalisation. We've seen another line recently been sort of renationalised. What would you like the future to be?
Well, I mean, I think the future is rosy. What has happened is that passenger numbers continue to rise, despite the fact that the government seems hell-bent on pricing people off the railways. You know, I think the railways have a healthy future, but we need to invest in the railways. That's what they need, really, is consistent long-term investment so that we have a decent service and hopefully an affordable service, and people will use it. And of course, railways are environmentally friendly. We all care about the environment. We don't want to pollute. So use the train.
We also have been talking this morning about the rail regulator and the announcement that all rail firms must stop taking disproportionate action against passengers who make minor and often genuine mistakes in buying tickets. This is very welcome news, I imagine.
Yes, I totally support this. I mean, I recognise that the poor old train conductors have a difficult line to navigate, really, no pun intended. You know, they need to differentiate between those people who are cheating the system, and it's absolutely right that they clamp down on fare evasion, but they've got to treat it sensitively. People make mistakes. People buy the wrong ticket with the best will in the world. And there have been some really nasty examples of genuine mistakes being sort of severely punished, when I think they should take a more sensitive and caring line. After all, we want to encourage people onto the railways, and you don't do that by being nasty to people.
When it comes to ticketing today, and obviously I'm one of those people who, I'm old school, so I always have like a printed thing, because it frightens to death the thought that my battery's going to run out on my phone and I'm not going to be able to show my ticket or whatever. But do you think that the old system of you had a paper ticket, that's all you needed, was that kind of more reliable, or were there still ways of getting around that?
I mean, I've used both. I'm 21st century, daddy-o. I've got one of those smartphones, and I've used it. I think it's horses for courses, really. Offer passengers the choice, see what works for them. I mean, I think, you know, longer term, paper will eventually be phased out, I think, probably. But, you know, maybe we'll end up with a system where you have sort of facial eyeball recognition or something, and the guard comes around and scans your eyeball. I don't know. I mean, you know, technology offers us all sorts of possibilities, but I think it's important that whilst passengers still feel comfortable and want to use a paper ticket, that option is still available.
The high-tech train of the future where eyeball technology is your ticket price. I can barely cope with an electronic opening door on the loo. But anyway, Bruce, listen, thank you so much for your time. That's Bruce Williamson, who is from the group Rail Future, which represents rail users.